Hey guys, it's Dan Plucker, executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show and host of Hef, Sam, and Dan on The Fan. Here's how you can find us on the radio.com app. Download the app, favorite The Fan, hit 105.7 FM The Fan, scroll all the way down to The Fan Podcasts, scroll to the right until you see the producers, hit that, and right there should be Hef, Sam, and Dan right here on The Fan. It's Hef, Sam, and Dan on The Fan on Demand. I'm Dan Plucker, the executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show, and there's one less person in here today. No, Evan Heffelfinger, he is out this week. He tells us that he can do certain days, and then all of a sudden he can't do them anymore. And honestly, he's probably the reason we haven't done most of these podcasts, completely throwing Evan under the bus here. That's not at all true, other than the part that he's not here today.
He has two jobs, unlike us.
Yeah,
he's
well, I have two jobs. I actually have three jobs, but it's all good.
That's true.
But anyway, next to me is Samuel Schmitz, the Swiss Army knife of the radio station here at 105.7 FM, The Fan. He does a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And yeah, he is the man when it comes to filling in on pretty much any show. He can do it all. That's why we call him the Swiss Army knife. And another guy who can do it all, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, yeah.
Announced today, we're coming at you on Friday here in the Nick Gardner Studios. That's a joke. It's Nick Gardner Studios, but I mean, he's kind of a sponsor.
Also brought to you by Andy Spitzer and Anthony Mandela.
Yes, who listen every week. I saw Spitzer a couple weeks ago, actually. He came into studio
really?
To pick up some of Leroy's brats, because Leroy's starting his own brat line.
And
it's going to be
this in
stores near you soon. Yeah.
With Leroy's face on it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think so.
Sell.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Oh. And he gave me a couple, and they are tasty. They're Italian sausages.
Ooh.
They're pretty good, so you're going to want to get those when they come out. But anyway, he gave a couple free samples, and also to Andy Spitzer, who came in. Huge shout-out to Andy Spitzer, who told me that he listens to every single podcast, and he and Anthony Mandela text about it back and forth and talk about how good or bad we did in the podcast. So we're getting critiqued out there by some of you. You can reach both of us. I'm at Dan on the Fan. Easy to remember. He is at Sam underscore Schmitz, underscore twice Schmitz.
I know. I'm always jealous of like the people who get their Twitter handles to just be their first and last name with nothing in between, but there's too many Sam Schmitzes, there's too many Schmitties, there's too many of this, so.
Well, the good news is there's only one Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like I said, he was announced as the MVP today. Thank you. That was a good Paul Blart, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Giannis won the MVP today, again, coming at you on Friday, and it was not necessarily a stunner.
No.
He got 85 of the possible 101 first place votes. LeBron got the other 26. Also not a stunner that he came in second place. Third was James Harden. Fourth, Luka Doncic.
Wow.
Doncic, actually the youngest player in NBA history to reach the top four in MVP voting at just 21 years old.
I didn't even know he got a couple votes.
Mostly third, because it goes all the way to fifth place.
Right.
So,
but even still, like nobody had even been talking about Luka and like running for the MVP race
right.
and all that. So
Anthony Davis finished fifth, if I remember correctly, who Ryan Horvat believes should have won the MVP this year.
But that was before the season even started. So, I mean, like, if we're...
he probably had money on it, too, knowing Ryan Horvat.
It's like him where, it's like him where he's got Kyler Murray to win the MVP right now.
Yeah, and how he told me that he thinks the Lions are going to beat the Packers on Sunday, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But let's talk about Giannis here. What a special season we saw from him in 2019-2020. And I think we kind of have forgotten, and a lot of NBA fans have forgotten, how dominant he really was throughout the season because of the hiatus and then also because of how disappointing the Bucks were in the bubble. But to be honest with you, this wasn't close, nor should it have been.
No, I can't believe the people who are arguing LeBron shouldn't got like, you know, dishonored or should have gotten the MVP or should have gotten way more votes and all that. It's like we really weren't talking about LeBron being an MVP candidate until like right before the All-Star break.
Right.
And
then
even
there was
so,
kind of a push for it. But
it was the whole national media driving that narrative. And
right.
I think people were saying LeBron should have been voted based on what he's doing at his age, which if we're going to do that, then Giannis should have definitely won the MVP because he's doing it all like 25 years old.
Exactly. The age thing didn't really make a lot of sense to me. And the only reason why they pitched that is because There's nobody else in the league doing what LeBron is doing right now at 37, and there's no way any Bucks or Giannis fan could combat that in any way. And so 100% right. Like I said, he is the oldest player in NBA history to reach a top two in the MVP voting as well. And LeBron has been criminally underrated in all of these MVP races over the last couple of years. It's a disgrace, to be honest with you, because even in some of his best years, it's like the voters just decided they weren't going to vote for LeBron James to be MVP anymore. He's only won four in his career, and he's been the best player in the NBA for 16 years.
Right, NBA voting is just weird. Like, that's how it's going to be for Giannis next year. Yep. Nobody's going to want to give it third MVP to him next year.
Yeah, Giannis will not win another MVP until after he has a ring. I can almost guarantee you that, unless he comes out with some absurd numbers next year, dropping like 35 a game and scoring a triple double. Right. I don't think that there's any way that voters are going to continue to respect Giannis without him getting something done in the playoffs.
But you're right. As I know, I just trashed LeBron and why he shouldn't have been MVP this year. But like, you know, the past 10 years, you can make an argument that he should have won it over whoever. Like, out of all those years, and honestly, he should have even been, like, Defensive Player of the Year a couple times.
Yeah, but the fact that he has, or that he doesn't have one, and Giannis does, is kind of a disgrace. Like I said, just because LeBron is one of the top two greatest players of all time, and
he's one of the best blocks.
One of the best blocks in NBA history. And he, like, he normalized the chase down block.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was not being done routinely in the NBA until LeBron did it. And LeBron is what made the chase down block famous, and he has shut down people in his career. So it is just wrong that he has not won a Defensive Player of the Year at some point, and sadly, he probably never will. But let's get back into Giannis.
Right.
Because Giannis did 100% deserve to win this award.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best player in the NBA, and it would be tough for anybody to argue otherwise. If he can continue to develop his shot and continue to rise with this Bucks team to new heights and hopefully make an NBA Finals and win a championship here in Milwaukee, he's going to win several MVPs, and he is going to catapult his way into the conversation, at least, for being a top 10, top 15 player of all time.
And that's the fascinating part about this MVP, is that if you look at his game last year compared to this year, he didn't really do much to improve his overall game. It's just that he was way more efficient this season. Like, I mean,
and his 3-point shot began to develop a little bit. Like, you were seeing flashes of him. Like, I remember the first Bucks Lakers game of the season where Giannis hit like 6 of 8 3-pointers or something like that. It was something along those lines. And like, when he can consistently hit 3-point shots in a game. We saw a couple of games like that this year. We saw a couple of different things from him, but not anything drastically different. You're right.
You're right. And I think, well, I mean, hopefully with him getting bounced in this playoffs, that hopefully he starts to like work with somebody in the offseason that really changes his shot or just makes it a little more fluid and all that. Because when it came down to the crunch time or when you needed a 3-pointer, he would, especially in the bubble, he was just chucking them up, and it was just not helping the team. So I guess I'll kind of leave it on this, because I did want to touch upon this, is when I did hear he was MVP today, it should have been a, oh my God, hell yeah, like kind of moment day. But it was like, it's so weird now that they announced it so late
in the season, right?
And the fact that, you know, we had the famous picture of him reading the newspaper, and that picture, as cool as it was, it made a little sour taste in my mouth. It's like, man, he's reading, it's like literally him like leaving. He's already gone to the bubble, but I just like see in my mind, it's like, yeah, he's, the playoffs are still going on, and he's reading about this.
And that's what we talked about a little bit on the big show today, too. We asked how much was of these awards that Giannis got are tarnished because that his team is no longer in the playoffs, because of the early exit, because of the failure to meet expectations for this team. And honestly, like, I feel like it's true twofold, because one, obviously they're not there anymore, and two, because they didn't play very well, and three, I forgot what my third point was. I was going to say something about Giannis, and because we were all expecting it. That's what I was going to say.
I mean, it's
like, this, it wasn't a shocker to anybody that Giannis won this.
They could have announced this like literally before the Miami Heat series even ended against the Bucks.
And shame on the NBA too, because they did not release a schedule of any kind from when they were going to announce all these awards. And they missed a golden opportunity, because all of the players are there. Well, all of them. 22 teams of players were there in the bubble. Right. Why would you not have some sort of awards show or something like that in the bubble, socially distanced, whatever, but where like the players can recognize each other for their skill and for their accomplishments throughout the season, even after the pandemic? I thought that would have been a really good way to bring everybody together in the bubble and kind of celebrate the fact that sports were back, but the NBA just kind of crapped the bed there, and they randomly just were like, oh, by the way, Ja Morant won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, today you're getting first All-NBA team.
It's and trust me, working in the media, we got nothing from them.
No, we usually, nothing from we the usually NBA. Get like, you know, heads up, like, hey, right, at this time we're going to be doing this tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Like,
right, we'll get time. Some sort of press release, some sort of something. And Sparky even reached out to the NBA, and he said, hey, when are you announcing these things? And the NBA was like, don't worry about it. You'll know when the time comes, basically, is what they responded.
You'll know when we announce it.
Which is stupid, because, like I said, this was announced at 9 a.m. on a Friday. 10 a.m. Eastern time. What good does that do for anybody?
It's like right before the Western Conference Finals starts too, and like right as the Boston Celtics are in dismay right now. It's like, honestly, like my excitement level for the announcement today was like a 5 out of 10. If I'm being completely honest.
I would agree. Like, I just like scrolled my phone, saw a tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski, and was like, oh, okay, cool. I guess they did it. Like,
because like you said, we've known about it for so long. Yeah. Well, we've known about it for so long, and I just missed the days when like it would be like the first round of the playoffs or whatever, and that they would give the MVP trophy like to whoever it was. And then it gets, I mean, I know we're in the bubble, but it would like get hoisted in front of all the fans, which is such a cool experience. But it's like, if you do it in that time period, it's perfect. Like right as the playoffs are starting, because then you don't have to worry about this, your MVP getting knocked out of the playoffs. And
well, and we remember last year, too, just the huge parade we basically had in downtown for Giannis when he won the MVP.
Well, that was awesome. And I can't stand the award show.
Right.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, but it's still, like I said, it still would have been nice to have it when they were all in the bubble, just to kind of celebrate that we're back, like the season's still
like
happening, the playoffs. Right, exactly.
You tell me you can't do like something presentation-wise.
It would have been literally the best place in the world to do something like this. But yes, and unfortunately, because of COVID and all these other things, that's being stripped away from us. So I think the tampered excitement for all of it just came because, like I said, we all knew Giannis was going to win, or we all expected him to win it, and we would have been shocked and stunned had he not.
Right.
And two, we're still kind of hungover on the Bucks not playing as well as they should have.
That
down
sour
there.
Taste still left in my mouth. And I'll finish it on this, because I love what Giannis pretty much ended his interview with TNT. Is like, yeah, don't call me, because last year he said, you know, don't call me MVP until I, you know, do it again or whatever.
Right.
And now he's like, yeah, don't call me two-time MVP until I win the championship.
Right.
That's like perfect. That's all I wanted to hear. I mean, I know he was driven to go win a championship next year anyways, but it's like, man, you know, just expand your game a little bit. Hopefully you get a little more help, and hopefully things change. And I mean, like we said, nobody's going to want him to win 3 MVPs in a row from the media. And I don't think he will next year, but man, when it's all said and done, he's going to have up to like 5 to 6 MVPs, I think.
Right. And as we're sitting here right now, I firmly believe after winning this award and winning the Defensive Player of the Year, being the third time in NBA history that somebody has won Defensive Player of the Year and
it's
MVP
like
in the same season.
Hakeem, like, Jordan, and him. That's it.
Right. Yeah. And also joining Kareem and LeBron as the only 3 players all time that have 2 MVPs by age 25.
Right. It's like
stunning.
Give him
like
time.
He is a top 40 player in NBA history right now, as we said, more than likely.
Yeah.
And
yeah, for
it's
sure.
Incredible to think about 40, too, because like we've talked about, he's only 25 years old. When Michael Jordan was 25 years old, I saw this tweet. I don't remember who tweeted it.
Right.
I think it was Peter Bukowski, if that's how you say
Pete
his
Bukowski
name. Pete Bukowski, right. He tweeted that when Michael Jordan was 25, the Bulls lost to the Celtics 4-1 in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
and when Giannis is 25, they lost 4-1 to the Heat.
Yeah, I'm not
the parallels there are very interesting. And Giannis said today, also at the end of that interview, that he would be looking forward to a potentially another 15 years here with the Bucks if they performed and met expectations. So that's just an incredible thing that he said that he would be willing to do. He wants to stay here in Milwaukee if they continue to compete. And that is the most important thing to him. Like he said at the end of that MVP conversation, he wants to win a championship. And now is the time. He's not waiting anymore. Now is the time for him to win an NBA championship. He wants to do it here in Milwaukee. Milwaukee has to provide that opportunity for him by providing the best players and the best area for him to win. And if they don't, they're going to lose him. And that's basically what he said today to recap that press conference that he had. So now, guys, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about another team that did a really good job in week one, just destroying the Vikings. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers and their upcoming matchup with the Lions on Sunday. It's Hef, Sam, and Dan on The Fan. And we're back. It's Hef, Sam, and Dan on The Fan on Demand. I'm Dan Plucker, Sam Schmitz. Sitting next to me, no Evan Heffelfinger today because he betrayed us. We kicked him out of the group. He's no longer a part of the band. Yeah.
He decided Home Depot is more important than this.
Yeah. Screw that. Work sucks.
To which we say, cool, hang out at the Home Depot. We don't care. We'll be here in the Nick Gardner studios.
Yeah. We're going to have a lot of fun without you.
Yeah. Talking NFL football and Packers week two.
Right. Packers coming up week two against my Detroit Lions as I sit here wearing a Detroit Lions hoodie and talking Green Bay Packers all week. And I got to tell you, after the performance we saw on Sunday, I think hope should be very
Packers
high for Packers fans. For Packers. Yeah. Well, for both.
Yeah.
You know, after what we saw on Sunday from both teams, I think hope should be pretty high for Packers fans about this game.
Yeah, well, especially the injury report, the last look at it, because now we just figured out today, it's we're recording this on a Friday. We just discovered, like, this afternoon, Kenny Golladay out. Desmond Trufant too, right?
Yep, Desmond Trufant, Justin Coleman, two starting offensive linemen, and Halupalavati Vatai. Yes, that's actually his name. They gave him $50 million, and you've probably never heard of him. And then also Joe Dahl, their starting left guard, also out for the game, which means they'll be relying on two rookie guards against the Packers on Sunday.
Okay, so good luck, Adrian Peterson.
And then also their, like, fifth-string corner is out, which you wouldn't think is that big of a deal, but their top two corners are out. The good news is Jeff Okuda, the number three overall pick in the NFL draft this year, will be playing. But welcome to the NFL, kid. Your very first matchup is going to be against Devontae Adams, who is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL over his last 10 games, and also is likely the best route runner in all of football.
Yeah.
So good luck to you, kid. You know, just get out there and face the best there is.
And Aaron Rodgers, who looks like a rejuvenated Aaron Rodgers, who as soon as he sees a rookie, doesn't matter if it's a top five pick in the NFL draft, he is going to pick on him, like, probably eight throws in a row at some point.
I would not be surprised. And that's the thing. We saw Aaron Rodgers return to his MVP form on Sunday. And was it a fluke? I guess we'll still have to wait and see and find out. But I think mostly it's him just kind of fully engaging and buying into Matt LaFleur's offense in this system, which we all thought that there was a potentiality that this was going to be a run-heavy offense. But I thought the balance of it on Sunday against the Vikings was very impressive.
Yeah, especially that. With especially Lane Taylor going down to the fact that the Lions still looked pretty good. And hey, when you're going up against secondary last week and the Minnesota Vikings that have, you know, cornerbacks that you can't even name outside of Harrison Smith in their secondary, and it's just rookies and all that. I mean, if the pass game is working, why not? You know, why go to the run game if you have to? So I don't think we've really seen, like, I don't think we can say what this offense is yet, but you're right. You know, going into year two of this offense is such a big thing that I think a lot of people forgot for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody was so focused on the Love and Rodgers dilemma that nobody was really saying, like, hey, you don't have to deal with all that. Like, that worked out big advantage for the Packers in the offseason, that they didn't have to worry about those year two, I guess, kinks
questions
in the offense.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's promising. And then even with the injuries for this week, I was just looking at our injury report. You got Kenny Clark out, which sucks, but
yeah,
it is what it is. EQ out. Man, Lane Taylor out for the year, as we learned. After that, you know, really you're just losing Montrevious Adams, possibly. He's questionable. Billy Turner. That's honestly it. Josiah DeGuara is also
Billy
questionable.
Turner's back, who was out the first game. Shout out to Elton Jenkins, who switched from who played his first game as a starting right tackle and then moved back into the interior. That's
been
nearly
like
unheard of.
Almost rookie of the year last year.
And that was stunning. And he's obviously a very quality football player and honestly somebody that I'm thinking might end up replacing David Bakhtiari as left tackle. Because I don't know if you saw the news today about David Bakhtiari.
I did.
But he asked for to be either matched or make more money than Laremy Tunsil, who's making $22 million as an offensive lineman. That's quarterback money almost.
But like, you know, 3-4 years down the road, everybody's going to be getting that money.
Right.
Even if Bakhtiari doesn't get it, somebody's going to get
Bakhtiari,
it.
And Bakhtiari, wholeheartedly, he deserves it.
Yeah.
Like, he is
that's
probably
just
the best tackle in the game.
That's just the way the NFL works, unfortunately. It's like, yeah, somebody set that value that shouldn't be there.
Right.
But if it's not David Bakhtiari, somebody's going to get that.
And it just depends on whether or not the Packers want to go there. Because you're right. It's the trend being set, but do the Packers want to be a part of that trend or do they want to lowball it almost? I think it really depends on Elgton Jenkins and his performance if he ends up moving back out to the right tackle position. And also maybe some of the rookies that they ended up drafting in this last year's draft, even though they were all late round picks.
Yeah.
I mean, John Runyon,
you didn't even
notice him.
No.
Like that, and that's what you want with offensive linemen, right? You don't want to be like, oh, there goes John Runyon letting player X blow past him again. Like that didn't happen at all. And so I have confidence in this offensive line. I think even without Brian Bulaga, which we were all wondering what was going to happen, I mean, they still seemed at least through 1 week to have a pretty strong performance.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not something necessarily we should be worrying about.
I'm not too worried about it. I mean, we'll see. Granted, you did go against Yannick Ngakoue and they're missing Everson Griffin. Never mind. But I was going to say, like, you haven't really faced a true pass rush yet, so we'll see.
That's true. And
New Orleans isn't really going to be too crazy. You got Cam Jordan. And,
who you'll have to slow down. And Michael Davenport, the other
He's actually
edge.
Out. I was going to say, they brought
really?
In. It's somebody else that was, like, wreaking havoc against Tom Brady last week. But they're, I mean, it's still doing a good job. But, I mean, I'm confident that the run game is going to be just as good as last year.
Yeah.
But I want to see how they hold up pass-wise against a really good front defensive line.
The thing is, I think people got caught up with the running game thinking that this was going to end up like Vrabel's offense at Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Where you give the ball to Derrick Henry 50 times in a game. And that's not what it was. That's not what it was going to end up being. But I feel like some national talking heads kind of thought that's where this offense was headed.
Yeah.
And after what we saw from week one, I mean, Rodgers threw the ball, 42 times in the game?
Damn near.
And he completed 14 passes to Davante Adams, which is insane. A huge day for Davante Adams, and hopefully you had both Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams in your fantasy league, and you played them both,
because
if you did, I mean, you probably won by quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, we talked about the cornerback woes for the Lions with Jeff Okuda going to be on Davante Adams, and their second-string guy, Amani Aruwariye, is his name. He's a second-round pick, a fifth-rounder last year. And I am very nervous that he's going to be the number two facing whoever,
Lazard or MBS.
And
that's the thing, is those guys eat against the Lions, too.
A very important part of this as well is that the Lions' safety situation is nowhere near the level of the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't even know who it is.
For the Vikings, it's Anthony Harris and Harrison Smith. The Lions, it is Tracy Walker and, the second guy's name isn't coming to me. That's okay.
Oh, man, you're
Will Harris.
Okay.
Will Harris, right. That's the other guy. And so the two of them are going to be the safeties for the game, more than likely. And Daron Harmon, I think, is the other guy's name. He's a new guy. He played for the Patriots the last couple of years. Anyway, I'd have much less faith in the safeties. I think that we see Aaron Rodgers maybe take a couple more deep shots in this game. He had a couple with MVS. That's why I'm starting. Yeah. If you do daily fantasy, start MVS this week. He's low. He's like 4,200 or something like that on DraftKings. Play Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right.
Play Davante Adams. Play Alan Lazard. Not all three of them, obviously, but the ones that you think, hey, like this person's going to score.
Yeah.
I think MVS gets a couple more shots deep down the field. I think he's going to have a huge game potentially. Might be the best player on the field. I said today on the big show, I predict a 42-17 Packers win.
Yeah.
And I predict Aaron Rodgers to have over 400 yards of offense in the game. I think it's roll out the helmets and the pads and everything.
Right.
The Packers win big on Sunday.
So, we're obviously not worried about the offensive side. And quite frankly, with no Kenny Golladay, I'm not even worried about the defensive side.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I was thinking, like, who's Jair going to match up on?
Marvin Jones has had some really good performances against the Packers. He had over 200-yard receiving game years ago.
That's with Kenny on the opposite side.
Right. And so Jair matching up against him is going to be really solid. Watch out for Old Face, Quintez Cephas. Right. He had 10 targets, only 3 receptions. He dropped a couple balls. Also, Matthew Stafford overthrew him a couple times, underthrew him. But Stafford really likes the way Quintez Cephas plays. And we talked to Lomas Brown earlier this week. He chose Quintez Cephas to win the Rookie of the Year, like the Offensive Rookie of the Year for the NFL. He thinks he's that good.
Hmm.
And he said that he's drawing comparisons within camp to, I know this is very lofty, but Anquan Boldin and Michael Irvin.
I was going to say Anquan Boldin, so that's actually a good.
Right. It's a great comparison. A big guy, not necessarily the fastest, but he gets the job done and he can go up and get balls, and he's faster on the field than what he is on.
Faster than you think.
Right. Faster than you think, but still not like, he's not like a Tyreek Hill or anything like that, blazing speed. You guys all know Quintez Cephas. You're Wisconsin fans.
Right.
But he has the opportunity to maybe have a big day himself, especially with Kenny Golladay being out.
Yeah, because, I mean, with Jair probably going to be matched up on Marvin Jones. You got Kevin King. I don't know. I think he even focuses more so on TJ Hockenson. So, yeah, Quintez could probably get, like, some of those slot catches and stuff like that. We'll see. I'm just, you know, if that's all we got to worry about in the passing game, because I was more so worried about Detroit's run game.
Right.
With Adrian Peterson somehow still putting up 93 yards last week.
Yeah.
And, hey,
dinosaur running through the middle, but he looked really good.
Yeah. I mean, despite what DeAndre Swift did last week, too, like, he's still a versatile running back that can.
He dropped the ball, we all know. But
he's going to, trust me, if that's like his welcome to the NFL moment, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. Right. I agree. And that's, I guess, the only way I can see an outcome where the Lions win this game. And this is.
Yeah,
not going to happen. But is if the Lions control the line of scrimmage with their run game.
Yeah, they just ground and pound the first down.
Yeah, if they literally just decide, we're not going to throw it, we're going to run it down the Packers' throats because Kenny Clark is out, and we're going to hope to milk the clock and make this the fastest game in NFL history and win 14-7.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only feasible way that I see the Lions winning this game is if literally every play they hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson, Kerryon Johnson, or DeAndre Swift. But if they try to make this a passing battle, and they're not going to win that. They're not going to win that battle.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't really thinking about a score prediction, but I agree with you. I think this is going to be one of those games where, man, Rodgers could even end up coming away with like 5 or 6 touchdowns just in the first half.
Right.
The secondary is that banged up for Detroit. I would probably say somewhere around like that 38-13 final
realm.
Score.
Yeah. And that, like I said, that wouldn't shock me at all. But one thing is, I'm very interested to see what ends up happening when the Packers face a real defense.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I want to see it like now.
Right, we've already seen. This is going to be the same script. It's going to be maybe a slow start for the Packers, but eventually they're going to pull away, or it's just going to be a massive offensive outpouring on this Lions defense, which frankly isn't that good, ironically, with Matt Patricia, who was a defensive head coach.
I was thinking about it with Michael Thomas being banged up, is like, because we would play the Saints next week. Granted, I think Michael Thomas somehow manages to play because he's talking about playing this week, but it's like, man, we're going to have one of those schedules again where we get like the opponent and then like their best players out, just like last year where you had like,
crazy,
you know, Packers against the Chiefs and no Mahomes and stuff like that.
And that could 100% be the case. But for the Lions, it's almost probably true with Kenny Golladay being out. But besides that fact,
their schedule really isn't that bad. They got maybe the Falcons is like your toughest matchup right after the Saints. And then you got the Buccaneers. And after that, it's pretty easy.
Well, and that's the thing. If you really think about it, like the Lions defense is so incredibly banged up. That, like I said, it's going to be a repeat of the script. It's going to be the same thing. The Packers are going to win big, more than likely, on Sunday against the Lions. And then you move on to that game against the Saints. They Saints have a good defense. Do they have a great defense? I don't think so. Same thing with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay. Same thing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering when they face like a defense that's actually going to worry them or an offense that's explosive enough to catch up to them. Because after watching Breeze Brady on Sunday on national football, like...
Yeah. First of all, can we just talk about how awkward it is watching a game in the Superdome with no fans in there?
Very.
That is... I mean, we're going to be playing in that next week, so that's just going
to
be
with fans,
very
though.
Weird.
They're supposed to be fans. Week three is when the Packers were going to have their first fans in the stands in one of their games, and that was against the Saints.
But even so, it's probably only going to be...
Right.
That's It'll such be a big stadium where capacity. I think, like, you know, if there's, like, only 17,000, it's not really still going to make much of a difference. So.
100%. But I'm just... I'm curious to see how Drew Brees and Tom Brady actually play this year, because if they play like they did on Sunday,
right?
I mean, neither of those games are going to be a competition. Tom Brady's thrown pick sixes in three straight games, which is almost unheard of.
Yeah,
the only other person to throw more is Matt Schaub, who had four, and then also Matt Schaub, who had a streak of three as well. Yeah. So he has the 3-4. That's just a funny little fact. But I don't know. I think that there's a very strong possibility that the Packers start off this season 4-0 and continue to run the table potentially for quite some time. I mean, I don't know when they really face, if they play like they did on Sunday. Again, this is a big if, because it's been 1 week and we don't want to overreact to everything. But if they play like they did on Sunday on the offensive side of the ball, and if the other teams play like they did on Sunday, and this is going to be a routine thing throughout the whole year, I think the Packers have a very strong chance of being the team to beat in the NFC.
Oh, for sure. Because I think a lot of these NFC, I mean, the NFC West is just chaotic, but a lot of these other teams in the NFC are just not, granted, it's only week one. We know nothing about these teams after 1 week, but just a lot of teams that you thought would be a lot better aren't. Minnesota Vikings being one of them.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying Minnesota could have won the division this year, but I think after watching week one, how many holes they have in their team, I think a lot of people probably step back a little bit on their predictions.
I don't understand how you can think that you can win the division when you have a cornerback room like they do. Like they have two former first round picks that are in there, both within the last 3 years.
And you're talking about a year where they have no preseason, no like OTAs.
We're also talking about Holden Hill, who was an undrafted free agent guarding Davante Adams for most of the game. PFF gave him a 29 grade out of 100.
Yeah, that's not great.
That's disgusting.
Yeah,
he was horrible.
But no, I agree with you. Their schedule is looking really good, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there is, because they play the Texans coming back off of that break, right?
Yep. So I'll just give you the next couple weeks. So after week two, we got Packers Saints on Monday night, or Sunday night football, I should say. My bad. I thought it was Monday night football.
Falcons is Monday night.
Falcons after that. Then the Buccaneers. Then Texans right after the Buccaneers, which is awesome matchup wise after that game. Then the Vikings again. And then I think you're probably. They're going to have a good record by then.
Yeah, I think so.
I think after the
4-1, 5-0 probably is what I would project in that. It's really going to depend on if Bruce Arians, Tom Brady can figure out that offense, because it did not look good.
No.
Even though we've talked about like how many weapons he has and all this stuff, it did not look that good last week. And potentially facing the Saints without their best player, or their best player limited at the very least.
Yeah, he'll be probably like a decoy, I would assume.
Yeah, I just don't see how he can compete with a high ankle sprain. That's pretty crazy. But
I'm just loving what I'm seeing from Aaron Rodgers this year. He's in more interviews. He's more visible to the public this year, which is just, it's weird.
It's a great point.
He's just, he looks rejuvenated. He's just he's tackling his backup quarterback in practice and stuff like that. I just think I don't want to say he bought into the whole, they drafted a replacement and all that, but I think he does want to show the front office this year that there was no reason. We have a couple more years.
Right.
There was no reason for you to do that. Yeah.
And we're talking about them being this good with them not really doing anything to add to this team at all this offseason.
Yeah.
Like team players that are going to compete and play this season, I mean, they let more people go than they brought in. It's just the fact that, like, Bakhtiari said it too, like, this offense is so complex, and that's part of the reason why it wasn't necessarily great last season.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they all have it locked down, year two, I mean, there's a potential that this could be one of the highest scoring, one of the best offenses in the NFL this season.
Now that I think about it, you're not really thinking about many teams that have gotten this many people returning on one side of the ball going into like another year of their same system.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't think of it like the Patriots. They got Cam now. They had to redo everything. The Buccaneers got Brady and they had to redo everything. Like maybe other than like.
There's Baltimore in there too.
Yeah, Baltimore is one. But there's like probably less than 10 teams that you could say had the fortune of that. Which going into this season with like I said, no preseason and all that. Oh my God. It's just like multiplies by 10.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out down the stretch. And we talked a little bit about Michael Thomas's injury. And then when we come back from the break here, we're going to give you some of maybe a couple players you should pick up last minute before your week two fantasy football lineups are set on Sunday. It's Hef, Sam, and Dan on the Fan with Dan Plucker and Sam Schmitz. It's Hef, Sam, and Dan on the Fan on Demand. I'm Dan Plucker alongside Sam Schmitz. And there's one person that is not here today, and that is Evan Heffelfinger. He's no longer our friend. He got fired. We're just kicking him out of the group, like we said earlier.
He's been voted off the island.
Yep, voted off the island. All of the above. Just, you're not the biggest loser.
And he's probably just learning about this right now as he listens to the podcast. So,
yeah.
Sorry to break the bad news, Evan, but
yeah.
Sucks to suck.
Basically, yeah. I was about to say, you suck. We don't like you anymore. Sorry. Yeah. No, but he's actually just out working at the depot, unfortunately. We were sad. We wish he was here. But nonetheless, we march on without him or else we would have gone 2 weeks without doing a podcast and we would have been pretty upset.
Yeah.
So screw that. We're doing it live.
Screw it. Do it live.
It's Sam and Dan here on the Fan, and we're going to take you through week two of your fantasy football season, and the waiver wire has passed. We're beyond all that. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some names that are still out there, because we got some big, big players that are not going to be playing this week due to injuries. Sam, give us a couple of names that you noticed that will be out this week.
Well, one that was kind of a really shocker, because this guy was limited at practice yesterday, but then was out of practice today with a completely different injury. That's A.J. Brown of the Tennessee Titans. Knee bruise is what they're saying.
Yeah, that's
really sucks,
because
he was playing until the final snap of Monday Night Football. So this didn't pop up until like yesterday and flare up until today, which really sucks. But I think if you have A.J. Brown, the good news is Corey Davis is probably on your waiver wire in all your leagues. If you got picked up, I don't know who would pick him up after Mirage week one. But now that you know A.J. Brown's going to be out against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
If you need a flyer for wide receiver, I think that's a pretty good.
Right. Or if you have a wide receiver on your bench and you're a little worried about your tight end position, maybe you had Gronk and you're thinking, ooh, like.
Jonnu Smith's going to be available in multiple leagues.
Yeah, pick up Jonnu Smith. He had a pretty decent week last week.
He'll be a red zone guy.
Plenty of red zone targets for him, which I expect a lot of this upcoming week. Tossing the ball to him at the tight end position. I like that connection between Ryan Tannehill and Jonnu Smith. So if you're maybe a little bit concerned about your tight end, pick up a second tight end this week, throw him in.
Yeah.
We'll see what kind of ends up happening there. Another guy who is out this week, like we said, we mentioned in the last segment, Michael Thomas.
Well, here's the weird thing.
For the Saints, he's not going to play. And even if he is going to play and he's going to be a decoy or whatever, he's not going to be valuable enough for you to start him this week. He's too high of a risk, I think.
I agree. But that being said, so the only alternate options I would play would be Emmanuel Sanders. Jared Cook and Alvin Kamara are already taken or already started in your league, so they're not available. Because I looked at the targets, it really was just Jared Cook, Emmanuel Sanders, and Alvin Kamara. Everyone else got like two or three targets, including Michael Thomas.
Right.
So, I don't think Michael Thomas is going to play this week. I don't think he should, but I think he can come back next week. Because I've heard reports that said Jared Cook kind of alluded like twice in his presser today that they're going to be without Michael Thomas. But I think we all know that dude's a freak of nature. He's literally never gotten injured. And I think if there was somebody who could come back in 2 weeks from a high ankle sprain and still play, I think it could be him. So I think that's somewhat good news is that they haven't put him on IR. So he's not officially out for like 3 weeks.
Three weeks is what
I said, he may be on the field this week. But I wouldn't play him.
Yeah. So another guy.
I wouldn't
guy,
play him this week, but I would play
right,
him next week.
Right, right. So another guy, maybe wide receiver you should be looking at is Breshad Perriman for the Jets. He had a couple targets last week. Jamison Crowder is out.
Yeah.
So he is probably the number one wide receiver in that offense right now, alongside Chris Herndon as well, who I actually picked up in one of my leagues.
Right.
I think he could. He's in for a potential boom week. Another guy, Russell Gage, who had 11 targets for the Falcons last week. Of course, yep. It was a very high-scoring offensive affair, but that could happen again with them playing Dallas this week.
I think it's a mirage for Gage, because the second half of last year is when he started getting playing time, and he was putting up the same numbers on less targets.
Absolutely. Another guy out there, Anthony Miller. I like his matchup with the Giants on Sunday. Quite honestly, I would not pick up Sterling Shepard or Darius Slayton of the New York Giants. I'm a little bit concerned with them facing the Bears pass rush, maybe Robert Quinn being back. It's going to be a big like I said, I don't especially after seeing them on Monday Night Football and the Steelers just absolutely destroying their piss poor offensive line. I do not like any Giants players, not even Saquon Barkley, to be honest with you.
No. And going back to the Jets real quick, because Le'Veon Bell is a big injury that we got to talk about from last week, too.
For sure.
Who the genius Adam Gase decided to continue to play after he already injured his hamstring. So props to Adam Gase, really doing a good job of cementing yourself as that offensive guru that everyone is praising you to be before you got the job. But Le'Veon Bell's out. That being said, I want no part of the Jets if it's not Le'Veon Bell.
Agreed.
And Frank Gore is coming in now. He's going to get all the carries for them. They even signed, I think, it was Frank Gore, Josh Adams, and they brought in somebody else this week. So don't, if you're desperate at running back, I guess Frank Gore, but don't even bother.
Yeah.
And even, I'm not sold on Breshad Perriman, but I would probably go Chris Herndon, but they do have a tough matchup against the Niners. We do, I kind of got to acknowledge that.
Yeah, so hopefully you have a third string running back in there. If not, I think Latavius Murray might be a good pick up and play for 1 week. They're playing the Raiders. Raiders' defensive line's not very strong. And who knows, maybe he'll get a couple touches on the goal line. That's usually when they like to use him anyway. Another guy, I just saw him on my feed here. Oh, Tariq Cohen is in and out of a lot of leagues as well. He's usually a borderline roster player. He might be available in a couple of your leagues.
Yeah.
Could be a good pickup. And I think that's about it for the running back position. I don't know if there's anybody else necessarily out there. There might be a couple if, like, Nyheim Hines is still available, but he's still out there, pick him up. Right.
Because last week, even before Marlon Mack went down, he was already getting playing time over Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
And I think he was already at like 14 points before Marlon Mack even went down. So.
Oh, and we were just talking about last segment. I should have said this. Adrian Peterson's still available in a lot of leagues as well. He has a potential to have a pretty solid day against the Packers without Kenny Golladay. That could be a pretty solid option as well.
One last thing I guess we should probably talk about for running back is James Conner, who is, I guess, practicing in full this week. And I know a lot of people that are listening to this probably already added Benny Snell. But if you haven't added him, probably add him. But that's going to be one of those situations when James Conner does come back. I think it's going to be a running back by committee.
For sure.
So I think it's something to monitor, where if you pick up Benny, you could maybe trade him to the James Conner owner as like a handcuff or something.
And let's talk quarterbacks real quick. I know that you'll have to wait on the waiver wire for this one. But if you are in a dynasty and Joe Burrow is still available.
Oh, pick him up.
At this point, I think it's about time you pick him up. he had a very solid performance on Sunday, and he looks like he's going to be the real deal.
He threw it 62 times.
Well, they were behind the whole game. You want to know something frustrating about that?
They're going to be behind a lot of other games, too.
Real quick, something a little frustrating about that. I did a DFS lineup last night, and I had Giovanni Bernard in my lineup. I only put $1 on the game. And after Giovanni Bernard scored, I was up to $58 on a $1 bet.
And they called it
back. And I ended up making $1.50. I was devastated. Of course, that was the third quarter. There's still plenty of time left. But I was pretty pissed off at the time, because that would have propelled my lineup into the top 100, and I would have maybe had a chance to go for gold there. But nonetheless, it's all part of playing the game. And we hope that you guys are successful in your game this week in your fantasy football lineup. Sam's got one more thing.
Big injury we got to talk about. George Kittle.
George Kittle, tight end position.
Already out.
Yeah, he's gone.
Which is like, holy crap. So I think we already alluded to one name that's out there, Chris Herndon. I'm assuming Noah Fant probably got picked up in every league.
Right.
If he is out there, he shouldn't be. Dallas Goedert, that dude needs to be on your team.
A couple other plays I like. I like Logan Thomas, the Redskins tight end.
Yeah, that's a sneaky start.
Dwayne Haskins seems to really like him. And Mike Gesicki as well from the Miami Dolphins. He had a couple red zone targets, and I think I saw somewhere that he had like 48% of their red zone targets last year when he was in a Miami Dolphins uniform. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Just a couple of names if you did end up losing George Kittle in your lineup. Now, guys, it's time for our favorite segment on the show, and it is the funniest segment where we bring you the top three funniest things that happened on The Fan this week. That's coming up next here on Hef, Sam, and Dan. Welcome back! Sorry, I was impersonating Bill Michaels there. It's Hef, Sam, and Dan.
Welcome back to the program!
Welcome back to the program! It's the Bill Michaels Show. I'm Bill Michaels, and let me tell you about my good friend Bill Michaels. He owns the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, and I am Bill Michaels on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network here on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So, that's not who I am. I'm actually Dan Plucker, alongside Samuel Schmitz, and no Evan Heffelfinger today. He is dead to us. We don't talk to him anymore. Working at Home Depot. No longer our friend. So, Let's instead get to some of these funny things, some fun things, some good things that happened on The Fan this week. And one, we'll do a little bit of a throwback, realizing that there's one man who we all know you come to listen to, and that's Rick from Oshkosh. He's going to be the number one here this week, but we're going to save him and that juicy soundbite until the end.
This is one of the gold nuggets from Rick.
Correct.
I mean, like, right. I mean, this is like probably one of his better appearances when he first started appearing. Like this
right.
is when you talk about Rick
this
and Oshkosh.
This is vintage Rick and Oshkosh.
This is like one of those top three moments that you talk
and
about.
And I don't know that you've ever heard it before, and we all know you love Rick, so we got to bring it to you. But first, let's get into Bart, who is also in that Rick clip. But Bart on the Bart Winkler Show, he had Tim Allen on earlier this week, and let me give you a little bit of backstory here. So Bill said that he received an email from Bartarita on, I want to say it was Monday or Tuesday this week during the show. And I have the hiccups right now, so I'm sorry if you can hear that. But he said they got an email from Bartarita, and then I believe Evan told Tim Allen, who then joined Bart Winkler in the morning, and he serenaded Bart to this beautiful song.
Listen in the morning, got the Winkler Show on. Nothing is new, but Horvath is off. Wasted away again in Bartaritaville. Searching for the missing Ryan Horvath. Some people claim that it's our bosses to blame, but I know this broadcast won't last.
Jeez. That didn't rhyme.
Well, good morning, Bart Winkler. Well, you know, you just shift on the fly. You make it up as you go along.
Tim Allen. Hey. Hey, you want to play us out with a song?
Yeah. Should it be Free Fallin' for the Brewers by Tom Petty? No, I'm not doing that. Are you
kidding
me?
That'd be perfect.
Wasted away again in Bartaritaville. Searching for a new morning show.
Hey, what?
Some people claim that it's our bosses to blame, but I know they're still looking for a phone call.
Wasting away in Bartarinaville. Dun, 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 dun.
Tim's always very good at being like spontaneous with songs.
Yeah, we have asked him to make a song for this podcast so we can use it as our intro, outro. We'll see if that ever actually does happen. Because
well, his credit, he said he wanted to do it in the studio.
Right, and he hasn't been in studio a lot recently, even though he does all of these shows and these games. It's just because, you know, it's tough for him to make it all the way up here living in Kenosha, and then also the pandemic and all of those sad things that we don't want to talk to you. This is fun time. This is funny time. This is the top three funniest moments on The Fan this week. Coming at you number two, if you listen to The Big Show, you know there is a certain catchphrase that Gary Ellerson owns, and that is, say it with me, Sam,
it's a fluid situation.
And I may or may not have been compiling some of the times that he has said that over the last couple of weeks / months. So listen to this glorious masterpiece.
Yeah, and I do have a new word I've been using a lot that has been fluid situation. Yeah, all I'm saying is, Leroy, it's a fluid situation. We all know that's what it is. What's the phrase that pays, Steve?
Money.
No, fluid situation.
Fluid situation, sure.
All of it. Good. It's a fluid situation. Well, I think it's a fluid situation. I think you got to have common sense with it, Leroy. It's a big show, Joe. It's a fluid situation.
Right. Gary Ellerson.
Fluid situation, Steve.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead and lend you my phrase that pays, and it's a fluid situation, right? This is a fluid situation with everybody right now, and they just weren't prepared. Yes. This stuff is all right, like
fluid
situation, right? I mean, it is. And I'm sure this is a fluid situation. I don't know where all that is coming from, but I mean, it's a fluid situation these guys want to play. Like always, it's a fluid situation, Joe. All this right. is a fluid situation, right? And I know it's a fluid situation. It was
That's
the Brewers on Monday for
Great
me.
Great point. Great
fluid
point.
Fluid situation. Well, what it is a fluid situation, Mike.
The fluid situation is one of the best things Gary ever came up with.
All right, look, we all got our crutches.
Yeah.
We all have things that when we were talking on the radio or like to say that we always like to incorporate in our dialogue, which is fine. You know, even Leroy's got his own catchphrase.
Yeah, for sure.
It's alleged.
Alleged, yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
So, you know, when you use it like that, I actually think it's funny.
Right. But when you're just constantly saying it all of the time in almost every situation, and trust me, folks, if you thought that was a lot, that was over probably the last half, maybe even less of the pandemic. Once we hit Packer season, it's on a whole different level. There was a day this week he said fluid situation 4 times in 1 hour. So, yeah, and now that we're in his grind, we're in Packer season, he uses a lot more. Now, you might be asking, how the hell is that number two? That was so funny. Like we said just a couple of moments ago, we got a gem of all gems from Rick and Oshkosh. We're throwing you all the way back to the 2018 baseball season when the Brewers were debating whether or not to bring up Keston Hiura. And let's just say, Rick is a huge fan of bringing up one Keston Hiura and placing him at second base instead of Mike Moustakas.
Wait, something I would do is Mike Moustakas playing second. If you play third, why don't you move into first and try him at first and bring Keston Hiura up right now and beat him off?
Huh? Wait, what did he say? Hold on, play that back one more time, Sam.
All right, here we go.
Wait, something I would do is Mike Moustakas playing second. If you play third, why don't you move into first and try him at first and bring Keston Hiura up right now and beat him off?
Huh?
Rick.
We got to bring up Keston here. We got to beat him off.
Like, what does that even, like,
what is it supposed to mean?
Like, what were you trying to say is my big question.
That's a great question. I don't have an answer to it. Like, I don't know what the hell he was trying to say.
I get it. We all wanted Keston up, but I don't think any of us were that excited.
We Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I don't think any of us were that excited. I'd have to agree with you there, Sam. But I know that you guys are all going to be excited to tune into another rousing edition of Hef, Sam, and Dan on the Fan next week.
Hopefully.
We have no idea. I think we've decided that Friday nights are kind of the nights where it's going to be at now. I think it fits into all of our schedule.
We're going to try to get back to the routine.
A little bit, you know, once Evan started up working at Home Depot again, we've had a couple of troubles trying to figure out a time to get us all together consistently on the same day every week. But now that we're coming out of the pandemic a little bit, Evan's no longer working Friday nights anymore, it sounds like. So it sounds like going forward, Friday nights is the nights we'll be recording this. You'll hear it over the weekend on Saturdays and Sundays. And a reminder to all of you, Milwaukee, just don't be a dumbass.
Don't be a dumbass. Don't be like Rick and watch your words.
Yeah. Well, be careful with what you say, especially if you get put on a radio station, because if you're not, we'll likely tease you.
Yeah, you will live in immortality.
Infamy, yes. Forever. Just like Rick from Oshkosh. All right, thanks for listening this week. Don't be a dumb.
Bye.